sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There is a song in our songbooks entitled "Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All" on page 223 of our text. And as I sang this song in preparation for the lesson tonight, two main thoughts came to mind. I thought about the many sacrifices faithful Christians must often make in their lifetime. And I thought about the glories of heaven and what is to come for those that remain faithful unto God. Those that remain faithful unto God. And the song proclaims that the reward for those who remain faithful unto God, that it will surely be worth whatever the cost. As Paul did in writings to the Romans, in Romans 8 and verse 18, Paul said that for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we shall be, that shall be revealed in us. And again, Paul, in his writings to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 4, and the verse is 17, Paul said, for our light afflictions, which is for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Will heaven be worth it all? I will tell you yes. But it never hurts tonight, Northwest, to be reminded of the cost and the reward of discipleship. There is a cost for discipleship. There is a cost. And I'll tell you tonight that Jesus must come first. Say amen if you can. He must come first. Before one's own self, Jesus must come first. Look what Luke says in Luke 9, verses 23 through 24. Luke says, and he said unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Next scripture. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Next verse. That was the last verse. So, but before anyone else, before self, before family, before mother, father, sister, and brother, including family, Jesus must come first in our lives. Must come first. Before anything this world has to offer, Jesus must come first. Look what Luke says in Luke 9, picking up at verse number 25. That was the verse I wanted. He said, what man, what does a man advantage? Huh? What is a man advantage if he will can gain the whole world and lose himself or be last away? Huh? We must be willing tonight, Northwest, to suffer for Christ Jesus. We must be willing. We must be willing, as the scripture says, to bear our own cross. He says in Luke 14, and the verse is number 27, he said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he said that he cannot be my disciple. I will tell you that tonight that living in an ungodly world, we may find that following Christ sometimes involves ridicule and persecution. Huh? It involves ridicule and persecution. Look what Timothy said in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the verse is number 12. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ, you and I are going to suffer persecution. Huh? This persecution that you and I are going to suffer may be physical. Huh? This persecution may be verbal. Or, you know, and there's some other things that you and I must endure for Christ's sake. Number one, that you and I are going to have some personal weaknesses in our struggles that we have against sin. We're going to have some struggles in our trying to resist the devil because he's not going to let up. We're going to struggle with disappointments brought on by failing brothers. And I'm talking about brothers who are weak, according to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 29. Brothers who are weak. Paul says, who is weak? I am not weak, Paul said. Who is offended and burned out? I burn not. So in other words, we're talking about men and women whose apathy and neglect produces slothful service. I'm talking about those whose irregular attendance make it difficult to depend upon them. I'm talking about those who are unwilling to serve, and that creates an extra burden on those who do serve. Huh? I'm talking about those who are murmuring, who hinder the efforts of those who try to do something. Even if we are blessed, Northwest, tonight to escape such a thing, we must still be willing to expend our time. We must still be willing to expend our efforts in promoting the cause of Christ in positive ways. Sometimes we may have to do it alone. Or we may have few that are willing to help us to carry on the cause of Christ. Sometimes we have to do it in difficult places where few appreciate the efforts that we are trying to make. Yes, discipleship is costly. And as the song suggests, we are often hindered, burdened with trials, burdened with toils and tears and many a heartache. But the Lord tells us through his word that heaven will surely be worth it all. There are some rewards tonight of discipleship. And from the pen of Paul, Paul said that a man who endureth much hardship, is a good disciple of the Lord. Yet, Paul looked forward to that day when Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, Paul was looking forward to that house not made with hands. Paul said, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands. Paul said it is eternal in the heavens. Paul looked forward, Northwest, to those riches of God's grace. He said in Ephesians 2, and the verse is number 7. Paul said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, and Paul looked forward. And I know you're looking forward as well to that glorious transformation one day. As he says in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, to paraphrase, he said, our conversation is in heaven. Our vile bodies will be changed. Our bodies will be formed to his glorious body to look like him. And then Paul said, I look forward to that glorious crown of righteousness. Paul said that this is laid up for us, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give us to all of us who love his appearing. And all we look forward to that heavenly kingdom that Timothy talked about in 2 Timothy 4 in verse number 14. Yes, that heavenly kingdom where the Lord will deliver us from evil work and preserve us for his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and forever. And then look at from the pen of Peter. Peter, a man who likewise suffered. Look what he said in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 through 13. You have that, Sister Denise? He said, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angel, and to men. Next verse. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Then he said, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless; being persecuted, we suffer it. Next verse. Being defamed, we retreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offcome of all things unto this day. Yet, Peter went through all of these things, but yet he looked forward. Peter looked forward to an inheritance that was imperishable. He looked forward to an inheritance that was undefiled. He looked forward to an inheritance that was reserved in heaven for you and me. Yes, and then he looked forward to a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwell. Therefore, he said, we need to be diligent, huh? That we may be found in peace without spot and blameless. And then from the pen of John, who suffered much tribulation, exile on the Isle of Patmos. John said in John 1 and verse number 9, he said, you got Romans 1 and verse 9. I'll slow down, Denise. Romans 1 and verse 9. Anyway, you know the story. John suffered, while he was in exile. But yet he was still doing what? Serving God, doing God's will. He said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. He was always thinking about the children of God, even while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Yet, John was blessed to be shown the bliss of those who were triumphant over the tribulation. John was blessed to see the destiny of the redeemed forever, that will be forever with God. John said in Revelation 21, he said that I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Can there be any comparison tonight? Huh? Heaven will surely be worth it all. Between a few years of service, even with hardship that we go through in this life, heaven will surely be worth it all. And in eternity bliss, in the presence of God, heaven will surely be worth it all. All the pain and heartache, heaven will be worth it all. We have read the words of those of Paul and Peter and John. What if they could return tonight, Northwest, and speak to us today? What if our loved ones who died in Christ could return and speak to us today? Would they tell us, if they were able to, that heaven will surely be worth it all? Huh? Whatever the cost of following Jesus in this life, may the words of this song and the promises of the Holy Scripture remind us and comfort us to be faithful and to persevere until the end. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36, he said, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. He said, for you have need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Have you heard the welcome call of the Lord tonight? You have, if you've heard the gospel of Christ. He is calling you and me even now. Do you desire cleansing in the blood of Calvary? Continued growth in the grace of Christ? Then you need to come to the Lord in faith. You need to come in repentance and in baptism. You will receive the Lord into your life by putting him on in baptism. Remember, there is only one baptism. Baptism that is commanded by the authority of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said in verse 18 that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, be baptized, by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Baptism I'm talking about tonight is for the remission of sin. Baptism, which is the burial. Baptism, which is an immersion in water. Baptism, which requires a penitent believer. Because of the many baptisms taught and practiced in the religious world today, we must never hesitate to ask our question tonight. Is baptism scriptural? Huh? If baptism is scriptural, then we need to answer as Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Yes, we can be saved by grace through faith. And then you will walk in good works ordained by God. Brethren, let's make a deal. Huh? Let's make a deal tonight to esteem the reproach of Christ greater than the richest treasures of this world. To choose to suffer affliction with the people of God, even if it is a means of sinning more often than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin and selfishness. Let's make a deal to keep looking to the reward that God has prepared for his children. Together, you and I can help each other to keep our priorities straight, to receive the best deal that one can make. Yes, heaven will truly be worth it all. Certainly, the gospel of Christ is not all fire, hell, and damnation. No, no. It is good news of God's grace, God's love, God's mercy for every sinner. Whatever delay there may seem to be regarding the Lord's return is due to God's desire that all be saved. Say amen if you can. But neither is the gospel of Christ a doctrine of universal salvation. Here's what I mean. In which a benign God accepts everyone as they are with no need to repent. Huh? There is a need to repent. In which there is no compelling need to share the gospel of salvation with others. If we are to be properly motivated to save others and ourselves, then we need to be moved not only to love Christ, but also to have the proper understanding of the lostness of a lost world. For we must all, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 to 11, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he had done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known to your consciences. Have you made the most important decision that you will ever face in this life? The decision which will determine your eternal destiny? The decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? And as the song says, heaven will surely be worth it all. He said, often I'm hindered on my way. Burdens so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears. Many a heartache may hear appall. But the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toil and pain I will endure. Till I hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I am sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. With all the sorrow that here befall, after this life with its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. What a beautiful poem tonight. Then John the Revelator reminds us that when we get to heaven in Revelation 21 and verse 4, that when we get there, God, if we're crying, God will wipe all tears from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There will be no more pain. The former things will have passed away. How many times tonight, Northwest, have we as parents wiped away our children's eyes, seen to their knees and kissed or hurt away? I know many of us have done that. What an assuring thought that our Heavenly Father will wipe away every tear from our eyes. The beloved David looked forward to this dwelling place. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Then Asaph said in Psalm 73 and verse 24, Asaph expected that God would guide him with his counsel and receive him into glory. Asaph said, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me in glory. Jesus stated this in John 14 and verse 3. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you where I am. And I heard a voice, the song says, a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he will be their God." We sing the song, "When all of my labors and trials are over, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near dear Jesus, our door, will through the ages be glory for me." We sing the song, "Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted, that oppressing soul. Showers of great blessing, all my heart will flow." He says, "Sing to me of heaven. Let me fondly dream of his golden glory, of his pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all." And I want you to remember something tonight, Northwest. You need to remember that life is called a fight. Huh? We need to be prepared with our armor at the ready. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Romans 13 and the verse is 12. So why not decide tonight to follow Jesus and become his disciple? Heaven will surely be worth it all. It'll be worth all of the trials and all of the tribulation that you and I suffer. It'll be worth, heaven will be worth all of the pain and all of the suffering. Heaven be worth the persecution that we are subject to by the world. When we get to heaven, we will see that wonderful and happy city. Because number one, our battle with temptation, our battle with sin would have been won when we get to heaven. In this life, we cannot fully grasp the extent of the joy and amazement of seeing our Lord face to face. Seeing our Lord, we can go and lay down our burdens, resting from our labors, basking in the glory of his love. Yes, heaven will surely be worth it all. You want to go to heaven? Then you're going to prepare to get there. You think you're suffering now? You think you've gone through some sickness, some heartache? Huh? But when you get to heaven, you're going to go stately stepping up there and you see God face to face and you will look back at your brother and say, "You know what? I'm glad I'm in heaven, because the suffering that I went through on this earth, heaven is worth it all. It was everything I went through. It meant everything, even losing friends in this world or gaining friends in this world or having to tell family, look, I have to leave you alone because you are going the wrong direction. I'm going to put God first and put you last." But when you get to heaven and you see God in peace, then you will say heaven was worth it all. Heaven was worth it all. Why not decide to follow Jesus tonight and become his disciple? Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.